Amen. Just going to, surprise, surprise, come back again. We might wind up this series up today, we'll see how it goes. If it's anything like a past track record, we won't, but we'll give it a go. Hallelujah. Amen. So, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. What we're talking about, exiting the old and entering the new. A door is not just a way in to somewhere, it's also the way out of where we have been previously. Amen? Amen. It's important to understand that. A door is not just a way in to something new, it's also a way out of the old. It's the exit out of the old. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 from the Amplified Bible, it says this: therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. See, has come. It's always important when we read the Word of God that we recognize the tense that is being used. Amen? There's so many things that are recorded there as past tense that the church is still seeking after. That's a measure of blindness there somehow. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24, again from the Amplified Bible: strip yourselves of your former nature. Interesting, strip yourselves. There's a bit of personal responsibility attached to this. Strip yourselves of your former nature, put off and discard your old unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lusts and desires that spring from delusion. And be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. And put on the new nature. A lot of people try and put off and try and put on, with, and they miss that middle step. What happens when you miss a step? Well, you stumble and fall. You know what happens when you stumble and fall? After you pick yourself up, you're more wary of trying that step again. Be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude, and put on the new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, God-like in true righteousness and holiness. Jesus said it in John chapter 3, verse 3, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, that unless a person is born again, anew, from above, he cannot ever see, know, be acquainted with, and experience the kingdom of God. You must be born again. And it's important that we understand that our thoughts must be born again, that we are continually being renewed in the spirit of our mind, because we must begin to think new creation thoughts. We must discard the old way of thinking, the old attitudes, the old responses to circumstances, because they're no longer relevant in our new life. Mm-hmm. And when we begin to have our thoughts renewed, we'll discover that our language is renewed, that our words are renewed, that we're speaking new words. As I said, I've said this over and over again in this series, there are two parallel kingdoms. There's the kingdom of this world, and there's the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And when we were born again, we were transferred, we'll get to that again in a minute, but we were transferred from the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of heaven. Because we're in the kingdom of heaven, and we're thinking kingdom thoughts, our words become kingdom words, and all of a sudden, it's like we're an alien to many of the people around us. Sadly, sometimes we sound like an alien to people in the church. Proverbs 23 verse 7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. If anyone is in Christ, he is. Say he is.
He is.
He is a new creation. But if he doesn't think new creation, if we don't think new creation, we will never experience the reality of being a new creation.
Right.
Because your life will always follow your thoughts. As a man thinks in his heart, that's who he is. That's who he becomes. Colossians chapter 1 verses 11 to 14, we also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power so you will have all the endurance and the patience that you need. May you be filled with joy. Always thanking the Father. Come on. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power. He's not asking us to do anything in our own strength. We've discovered our own strength is insufficient.
Yeah.
Our own strength was what we relied upon when we were citizens of this world. But as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, we're no longer reliant upon our own strength. Amen?
Yeah.
You know, you'll hear people say, and I've probably said it, I've preached it, and you've probably heard it preached many times, tribulation worketh patience. So if you're going to get some patience in your life, you better get a hold of some tribulation. You know, and by every trial to come, so you can get some, try and sort of eat some patience out of it. No, what does it say? We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power so you will have all the endurance and patience that you need. He supplies the patience.
Yeah.
In case you've forgotten, in Galatians it tells us that the patience is a fruit of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
His presence in your life will give you all the patience that you need. All the endurance and patience.
Yeah.
Remember, how do you endure? You've got to learn that endure is synonymous with joy in the kingdom. Enjoy in the kingdom. What does it go on straight away to say? May you be filled with
joy.
The joy of the Lord is our strength. In his presence there is fullness of
joy.
Always thanking the Father. Hallelujah. Come on. You want to stay in joy, just keep thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. We're not in the dark anymore. How many of God's precious people are still living in the dark? They don't know what's going on. They haven't got a clue. They've got no... Come on, it's like, oh, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happened. Why? Because they're living under. They're still living like they're citizens of this world. They're responding and reacting to situations as if they're citizens of this world. That's why we've been talking on Sunday nights about bringing our testimony, redeeming our testimony back to a place where we bring our testimony from heaven's perspective. It doesn't matter where we came from. Everything from where we came from is gone.
Yeah.
As a new creation in Christ. It's dead and it's buried. And we're not supposed to be grave robbers. Digging it up again. Come on. Have you got any skeletons in your closet? Yes. And that's where they're going to stay. Come on. Christina shared a joke with her. Why did the skeleton not go to the party? Because I had nobody to go with. Well, folks, we're part of the body of Christ now. We've got a party to go to. Hallelujah. And leave all the skeletons behind. Come on.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Listen to the tense again. We have been rescued from the kingdom of darkness. And we have been transferred into the kingdom of his dear son who purchased He already did it. It's a done deal. Who purchased our freedom and who forgave our sins. We have been. Say, I have been. We must exit all of the mindsets. We must remove ourselves from all of the mindsets associated with the kingdom of darkness. Because we must have a new mindset if we're going to fully enter into the kingdom of His dear Son. A mindset that is established. I want you to hear this. A mindset that is established upon the freedom and forgiveness of sins that have been purchased for us. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, our past sins that have been forgiven, there's no need to dwell upon these anymore. It's foolishness to keep dragging them back into the public forum again. Come on. Because when you take things that are dead and you bring them back into the atmosphere again, they stink. They stink. So rather than bringing the perfume of God into the place, you're bringing a stage. Let me just explain. A mindset is defined as the established set of attitudes held by someone. So we had established attitudes in our old life that we need to recognize are gone now. And we must have a new set, a new mindset, and a new set of established attitudes, or a new set of attitudes established in our lives. I think we might have touched on this last time, but remember, I mean, that song that the world loves, and we all love it, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And some people still sing that song as believers, thinking that they're still that wretch. But every one of us who has been born again has been transferred from wretchedness to righteousness. And so I must exit the mindset associated with wretchedness, and I must enter the mindset associated with righteousness. Why? Because sin consciousness destroys the faith that we are designed to live by. There's only one way that we can live this new life that we have been given. And that's by faith. By hearing what God says, by taking God seriously in everything that He has said. Sin consciousness removes our ability to come boldly into the throne room of grace. We tiptoe around Him. We don't even want Him to really show up in case He exposes what? Our sinfulness. People are praying that God will show up and expose people's sinfulness in the church. But these are bogus prayers. No wonder God's been so slow in answering them. Come on, I can pick holes in you and you can pick holes in me. I've watched you sometimes and I think I can pick big holes in some of you folks here. Just like you can pick big holes in me. But that's not what we're here to do.
Right.
Some of us have been praying that God would show up and expose your big holes. Sort it out. But that's not what the Holy Spirit comes to do. Well, I thought the Holy Spirit comes to convict the world of sin. Yeah, to convict the world of sin. Why? Well, Jesus gave us a commentary, and I'm so glad He did, because I'm sure in other commentaries they would have come up with something very different. He gave us the commentary of sin because they do not believe in Me. Sin is synonymous with, sin equals unbelief. That's why you can't take sin and divvy it up into all different kinds of categories and what's worse than this or that. Come on. Place values on sin. You can't do that. Sin is just unbelief. If you don't believe what God says, you'll end up sinning, which is what? Missing out on God's glory. The glory that He wants every one of us to enjoy. That's why for years now our testimony, our declaration, or at least mine has, I hope yours has been too, the glory is here. We're not chasing His glory, we're not trying to pull it down from heaven, we're not trying to find out some magic formula that will instantly cause the glory to manifest. No, the glory is here. What perspective is that? That's the perspective of heaven. The angels around the throne, they have no problem with that perspective. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his
glory.
That tells me something. From heaven's perspective, the glory is here. How do you miss it? By not believing what God says and his word. Taking it seriously. Having that mindset established in you that God's word has integrity, that what God says is what he will do. End of. No fussing, no cussing, no arguing, no debating on that point. God said it, that's it. That settles it. Hallelujah. Sin consciousness removes the ability to come boldly into the throne room of grace, knowing that there's nothing to prevent you. There's no hindrance anymore. That Jesus' blood opened up the way. When he cried, "It is finished," the temple veil was ripped in two. And access to the throne of God. Come on. It's established. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Sin consciousness disables and cripples and paralyzes the assurance. Because people think their relationship with God is based upon their experience of God. No, our relationship with God is based upon one thing. Jesus' righteousness. And he gave us his righteousness. The right to stand, to enter God's presence, and to stand there without a sense of fear or guilt or shame or even inequality. What's the world screaming about? Equality, equality, equality. Why are they screaming for equality? Because there's a deep black hole on the inside of them that knows they need equality. Where is the place of equality established? At the foot of the cross. We're singing about it. We want our rights, we want our rights, we want the right, we're screaming for the right to be wrong. When God's word guarantees us one right to be called the children of God. And that sorts everything out. That resolves every problem, every issue. Sin consciousness disables and cripples the assurance that those who are born again have that right to stand in God's presence without a sense of fear or guilt or shame or condemnation or, let's dare to say it, inequality. Oh, he's always God, and you never are. He's always Father, and you're always his child. And that, see, man, I'm expecting to be here about 120. Anna at the back there, she'll be then probably around, I don't know, she was born in 1991. Well, let's do the sums. Well, you know, she'll be fair age then, but I'll still be Father, I'll still be Daddy, and she'll still be my little girl. Hallelujah. No matter how clear here may I go. Like we say in Glasgow, better grey hair than they hair. Anyway, that's another thing. Hallelujah. See, every failure, and this is what bothers me, this is what troubles me, this is what bugs me. Every failure to receive from God, see, I hate when we fail to receive, because I know that God's word has integrity. I hate when I see people, his people, God's people, God's children fail to receive from him and then base their new theology on that failure to receive.
Yeah.
Create this new doctrine, allow this conscience to come in and convince them that that's because God's holding out on them. Because maybe they haven't got it quite right yet. Maybe they haven't got all their I's dotted and all their T's crossed. If they could just manage to get that done, then maybe. So we try that for a few years and then we discover that still doesn't work. So then we just rearrange everything again and we come up with this new theology. Well, I guess he just doesn't want to do that for everybody. If he ever wants to do it at all. But you see, every failure to receive from God can be traced back to and is rooted in sin consciousness that is supposed to be gone forever. That old mindset of sin consciousness, come on. You were born with that the first time around. You knew when you'd done wrong. You knew when you'd done wrong. You knew when you hadn't done something that your parents said to do, or had disobeyed something that they said not to do. You knew it. And what did that create in your relationship? Fear. Fear that they would find out. Because you knew that when they found out, you would be punished. Jesus took our punishment.
Yeah.
There is no punishment left for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was, I mean, these words don't cover it. Come on. I mean, it's trying to express in language something so inexpressible. When they made that film, The Passion of the Christ, and they tried to lay it on and lay it on and lay it on and lay it on, and they still didn't come close. Because they could only present something physically, they couldn't present the spiritual aspect of it all. The horror of it all, the true horror of it all. They had to give it an 18 certificate because it looked so horrific, but they still couldn't get to the real horror of it all. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace, our shalom, was upon him. So that we could live in the nothing missing, nothing broken. It was all laid on him. And by his stripes we were healed. So every time we fail to receive, it's because of sin consciousness. There's something in there that somehow we just don't think we deserve it. I said we don't think we deserve it. Because we think we're still sinners, still wretched. Well, if we still are, Jesus' blood isn't as powerful as we sing about. See, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes, no one gets a ticket to heaven except through me. Is that what he said? No one comes to the Father except through me. No one enters, runs into that place, into the very throne room of God, knowing that their Father sits upon the throne of heaven, until they get that realization, that full revelation that what Jesus did accomplished everything that we will ever need. Provided everything that we will ever need. Removed every hindrance to us receiving everything that we will ever need in every circumstance and every situation. But that's what sets what Jesus did apart from all other religions. Jesus didn't come to establish another religion. Jesus came to bring reconciliation. He didn't come and present us with another set of rules and regulations that we have to follow in order to try and somehow please and appease the wrath of God. No. In Christ, God himself dealt with the sin problem and removed it. All other religions are trying to deal with that sin problem. They're trying to deal with that sin consciousness in so many different ways. Some of them it's through very strict legalism, and others it's through physical disciplines and all kinds, spiritual disciplines and all kinds of stuff. But no, Jesus didn't come to do that. In Christ, God himself dealt with the sin problem and removed it, obliterated it, and reconciled man to himself. Hallelujah. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Where does it say that? That's what it says in the Word of God. I believe what He says. That means that if we return to living in sin consciousness, it means that we're backsliding out of the joy, out of the freedom that comes through a personal relationship with Almighty God as our Heavenly Father. He's still Almighty God. He's still the Most High God. He's still the High and Lofty One who inhabits eternity. But now, He's our Father.
Yeah.
And we backslide back into that fleshy striving of religion that will always fail, that will always come up short, that will always miss His glory. See, for years and years and years and generations, we were taught that we were unworthy and unrighteous as believers. It's like you went to church and you were told, you're a wicked sinner, you need to repent, you need to repent, you need to repent, and you said, oh yeah, okay. Then you went back to church next week and you said, you're a wicked sinner, you need to repent. And you're like, huh? Nothing's changed. When do we get an upgrade? We were told we were weak and we had no faith. And what did that do? That shaped our thoughts and it began to govern our reason. So we thought we were totally inadequate for every negative thing that came into our lives. Amen? See, and we sang the songs that kind of Paul said, listen, he said that the things that happened to Israel, to God's people in the Old Covenant in regards to Egypt and coming out of Egypt, he said that these are left to us as their failure to enter into the land and their perishing in the wilderness and all that sort of stuff. He said, these things are left to us as examples so that the same thing would not happen to us. Why did he say that? Because he knew it was possible for the same things to happen to us. I'll tell you what happened with us. We came out through the blood. Miraculously, supernaturally, we knew we'd been born again. Something radical, something supernatural has happened to us. And some of us, we came through the Red Sea and we experienced the wonder of baptism and all of that good stuff. We weren't told what it meant necessarily. And we entered into the wilderness. And we thought, this is where we're supposed to live. Except the wilderness was just supposed to be a short journey to the Jordan. The Red Sea wasn't the boundary into the inheritance. But then we made the Jordan was a place that we crossed over to enter into heaven. I won't have to cross Jordan alone, we sang. Oh, this world is just a wilderness, but I'm waiting for deliverance. I got a ticket in my pocket, it says heaven on it. I made that one up. Think of all the songs we sang. Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's eternal shore. I'll fly away, oh, I'll fly away. Oh, come on. Well, yes, we will. But everything is not supposed to be postponed until that day.
Right.
I'll tell you about the day I crossed the Jordan. The day I got baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And I discovered that it was entry into the promised land.
Amen.
Didn't happen overnight, but I began to discover that, hang on a minute, I'm now living in a place where all of the promises of God are yes and amen. Right now, right here, in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So some of these songs, happy, even as much as I like the tunes, and the sentiments they expressed, hallelujah, were no longer relevant. for now. Oh yeah, on one some glad morning, praise God, we will fly away. But this world, this experience that we have in this world is not supposed to be a wilderness experience. Come on! When they reached the Jordan and they finally crossed over that generation, you need to understand there's only two men out of the whole generation that came out of Egypt who made that transition. And when they led that generation that had been born in the wilderness, what kind of mindset would they have had, do you think? Well, they've been listening to it for 40 years, or wherever they were born in that time. But see, when they crossed over, God didn't send a chariot and say, okay, come on home, guys. No, he said, welcome home, guys. This is the land that I have prepared for you from all eternity. Hallelujah. Come on. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This has already been provided for and established in heaven. Let heaven come to earth. That sin consciousness, that emphasis that was continually coming to us, and what we were listening to, what we were hearing, telling us we were wretched and sinners and unrighteous and we were weak and we had no faith. It shaped our thoughts and it began to govern our reason. So where do we have to come out first, folks, if we're going to fully enter in to all that is our inheritance as a child of God? Always, first of all, you have to come out in your thoughts. Why? Because I've said it over and over again, because our life will follow our thoughts, because as a man thinks in his heart, that's who he is. It had reached the stage in the church in many places that anyone who said anything different to us being weak and wretched and having no faith was branded a heretic. Religion branded Jesus a heretic. Why? Because he offered people relief from the effects of sin upon their lives. And so I was trying to say, well, Lord, what is it about this and people and all these lost people? And all I know about God's heart towards those people is that he loves them. Mm-hmm. And he did something so radical and so extreme in order to bring them back to that place of experiencing his glory. See, the tragedy is that because the church has promoted sin consciousness, because the church has propagated and perpetuated the message of unworthiness and unrighteousness, the only way out that we has been left to us is the way of works. Mm-hmm. And sometimes even the way of paying for things. Yeah. I want to tell you something. I don't need to pay anybody in the church anything to receive what I need from God.
Right.
Well, I'll say that again. You want to write that down? The day that I have to pay someone, a brother or sister, regardless of what reputation they have, that I have to pay them something to receive something from God, I've lost the plot. And I would say that to you as someone who has been tempted to do it just to see what it is they're offering. But the problem is, I don't really need to go through them, because I have access. Purchased for me. Oh, you see, somebody paid for it, all right.
Yeah.
You see, the problem is everything they're trying to sell me now, somebody already paid for. Because if they really did get that from God, then Jesus paid for them to get it from God. Not so that they could keep it and try and sell it to me. No, so that they could freely give what they freely received. So if I want what they have, I don't even have to pay them for it, because I can go direct to the one that they said they got it from in the first place, and I might find out there that maybe they didn't get it from him.
Yeah.
I might find out there that they did. Mm-hmm. I can come right in to the very throne room of God, and I can ask for wisdom.
Right. Yeah.
And I can ask from him who gives liberally. Not conservatively. But liberally. To everyone who asks. Hallelujah. Come on. But because we thought we were unworthy, or we are just wee mini Christians or something, or we are just poor pathetic. We're not like those who are up here. Because you haven't quite got it yet. There's nobody up here. It's an illusion. There's nobody who's up here on their own. If he's up here, everybody's up here. In fact, what Jesus did is he took us all up there and sat us down with him at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places. A place from which you go no higher. Remember what happened when I tried that? He soon got knocked back down again. I need a story about him. You know what I'm just getting a bit weary of? And I don't do weary for long because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Ding dong! Yeah. Give myself a tickle or something, you know what I'm saying? But I'll tell you what's wearying me. The prophetic. The prophetic. It's like we've gone, the pendulum has gone, yeah, it's flying and it's through the sky right now at the speed of sound, you know what I'm saying? It's time for every individual believer just to begin to access what's already been purchased for them. You want to hear a prophetic word? Go to the source. Go to the source. I'm not against prophetic words. Don't be ridiculous. Of course, I can't be. It's in the Word. How could I be against it? But then, I tell you, we've gone mad on it. The church has gone mad on it. And there's people who present themselves. You know, we want to teach you how to be prophetic. We made you the Holy Spirit. But no, man, how are we going to charge you for it? It's like Warren Howard, you know what I'm saying? Not Macy Gomez, the fine Macy Gomez, you know what I'm saying? It's time to strip it all back. Hallelujah. It's time for the church to arise and truly become that prophetic voice in the nation. And to invade the kingdoms of this world as kingdom citizens and release that prophetic voice of God that calls people back home, and there's no charge because the price has already been paid. It's time for us to invade the churches, hallelujah, the church folks, and tell them you don't need to pay for anything. Price has already been paid. Everything already belongs to you. You don't need anybody to come along and teach you how to be prophetic. Holy Spirit will teach you how to be prophetic. In fact, he'll teach you you're already prophetic. The fact that you're born again, that you've been transferred from darkness to light, from death to life, from under the power and dominion of a wicked devil into the kingdom of God. You are a sign and a wonder. You're a sign and a wonder. You need to know that. You need to think like that. I am a sign and a wonder. Where does my sign point? It points out of where people are into where I now am. Hallelujah. Come on. Out of death into life. Out of sickness into health. Out of oppression and depression into freedom. Sound mind. The mind of Christ. Out of poverty into prosperity, where all of my needs are met. Out of his riches and glory. By Christ Jesus, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. This type of person asks you, do you think you say, I'm a sin, I wonder? Come on. Tell them I'm a sin, I wonder. I'm a sin, I wonder. I'm here as a sin to make you wonder. Hallelujah. Why? Because I've come out of the old and I've entered in to the new. You want prophetic? Like a selfie? You see, this is how you become prophetic in the kingdom. You tell everyone what he's done. You tell everyone what he's done. No. We want to hear what he's going to do. No, you tell them what he's done and then see what he'll do with that. I said, tell them what he's done and you will see what he will do with that. And you won't just have a prophetic word, you'll be living in it. You'll be living in it. Jesus said, go into all of the world and preach and proclaim and declare this message of the kingdom. And you will discover what he will do with that. And they went out and they preached everywhere. It says at the end of Mark chapter 16, they went out and they preached everywhere. The Lord working with them, accompanying confirming their word with the accompanying signs. I could be embarrassing. Confirming the word that they preached with the accompanying signs. Just go and tell him what he's done and just watch and see what he'll do with that. Hallelujah. And you will be as prophetic as prophetic gets. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm going far. I've been waiting on a wee. It wasn't a rabbit trail or nothing. It was just, I believe, where the Holy Spirit wanted to take us this morning. Just to point out some things for us to get, because it's all about freedom. It's all about freedom. Setting us free from religion. Religion doesn't just exist in other denominations and other movements and other streams. Religion shows up everywhere. And it's always got the same purpose, to put a change, wrap chains around you. And tell you can't do this until you've done that. Or you can't do this until you've paid this. And all that hocus pocus baloney. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. I'll stand up. It's hard to go anywhere sitting there. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that you have delivered us from sin consciousness. Lord, in your heart is to establish us in righteousness consciousness. To know that you never withhold any good thing from any of your children. When we're simply bold enough to come into your presence and ask. Thank you that you have everything that we will ever need. Thank you for the gifts that you give to the body. Gifts of apostles and prophets, evangelists and pastors and teachers. But help us to remember, Father, that these are not titles. They are functions. And the function of the apostle and the prophet and the evangelist and the teacher is to equip everybody else in the body to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers and to release everyone into the function that you have for them. A function that will cause many, 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 many people to come into your kingdom and become apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Hallelujah. So that finally we will see your heart for this world accomplished. Thank you, Father, that you've already declared your will that none perish. So, Father, we refuse to run with anything short of that. We know that the end result is ultimately not in our hands, but we thank you have placed so much in our hands and we choose to embrace that and to run with it. Father, Jesus ain't come back yet before our time is done, and help us to pass the baton to the next generation. But they will run with the same enthusiasm to see this job done. Hallelujah. That we might truly move on to the next level. Hallelujah. That we might see your kingdom come in all of its fullness, Father. That we might see the enemy of our souls finally removed from the scene. That we might see the new heavens and the new earth. Hallelujah. Lord, just place a deposit of that in our spirits. Lord, that prophetic within our spirits, Father. This is what we pursue. This is what we seek. And we don't do it out of striving, but out of the strength that you supply, out of the enablement that you've given. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the reality that He took us across the Jordan. Into the place where we can expect with active and aggressive expectancy to see your kingdom come and your will done on earth as it is in heaven, because yours is the kingdom and yours is the power and yours is the glory forever and forever. Amen.